ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुर सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We learned in the 58th shloka about Shankara ending the discussion of avastatrayam, the three avastas of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, and then finally concluding by saying that the three avastas are mithya, trayameva bhaven mithya. Why they are mithya? Because Gunatraya Vinirmitam. They are created out of Triguna, whereas the Atman, who is the Drashta, who is the Sakshi of the Avastatrayam, he is Guna Atitaha. He is beyond the Trigunas. He is Nityam. So we have the three Avastas as the Gunas, caused out of Trigunas, whereas the Atman, who is the Sakshi of the Avastatrayam, he is Guna Atitaha, he is beyond all gunas. And gunas is what causes a person to suffer, because gunas are the karta. In Gita, if we learn the various chapters of Gita, in many places Krishna speaks about the karta as ahankaram, karta as mind, karta as the guna. Those are different ways, different perspective from which we can say that things are caused by one, many things. It is The karta of everything that we know is one entity, that is ajnanam, that is caused out of ajnanam or ignorance. But ignorance has different facets. Ignorance can become different things. Therefore, from the perspective of the effects of ignorance, we can say the karta has different things. So in the 14th chapter, which is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, where Krishna speaks about the three gunas, exposition of the three gunas, there he says at the end that nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anupashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodigacchati. Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anupashyati. Yada drashta, when the seer, when the sakshi, when the sadhaka, it's not a sakshi as such, it is a sadhaka. Yada drashta gunebhyah anyam kartaram na pashyati. When the sakshi doesn't find any other karta other than gunebhyah, other than the gunas. So the trigunas are the karta. When a person realizes that the trigunas are the karta and he is just a witness of it, then gunebhyascha param veti, he realizes that state which is beyond the trigunas. And what is that state? Madbhavam saha adigacchati. That state is my state. That is my eternal state wherein a person reaches that. So that is called guna atitaha. Krishna explains in later in the chapter about that state of guna atitaha. Sarvarambha parityagi guna atita sauchyati. He is called a guna atita who has renounced all action. So the trigunas cause the three avastas, whereas the sakshi is guna atita. He is beyond the gunas. Since he is beyond the gunas, therefore he is unaffected by the gunas, unaffected by the activities of the gunas, unaffected by the fruit that the gunas give. The fruit that gunas give is dvandva bhavam. Dvandva bhavam is sense of, is the dual notions like heat, cold, light, darkness, day, night, similarly sukham and dukkham. All those, we can reduce all the dvandva bhavam to sukham and dukkham, because finally it matters as to whether we are happy or not. Happiness and sorrow, those are the final perspective that a person would want. If we can be happy, if we are happy just sitting at home without working, without earning any money, without eating anything, then we will be content with that. Because with happiness comes contentment. So happiness is the final goal, and that happiness can be achieved only when we are beyond the Trigunas, because Trigunas will lead us to Sukham and Dukkham, Dvandva Bhavam. One is not there without the other. So if one is there, it can't stay for a long period. After some time, the other will also come. It's like two sides of the same coin. And scriptures give another beautiful explanation that Sukham and Dukkham, Amma also says the same example, that Sukham and Dukkham are the two tires of a car. We can say the front and the back tires, or the left side and the right side. So the car or the vehicle of life cannot proceed without both Sukham as well as Dukkham. But a person, when he knows that he is Guna Atitaha and he is Drashta, he is the seer, he is the Sakshi, then he will not be affected by the Gunas. Therefore, he will be ever blissful. So that was the 56, 57 and 58 Shloka. Shankara explained about, in brief, the essence of Mandukya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad as well, about Avastatrayam. And now Shankara enters into the real topic of Mithya. What is Mithya? The analogies that Shruti gives for Mithya. Okay, I am beyond the Guna Atita. I am Guna Atita. I am beyond the Gunas. Yet, how can I know that the Gunas are illusion? How can I know that the world which is caused out of the Guna is an illusion? In which way? Can you explain it in a better way so that I can understand, I can apprehend it? Like, even as a child, for a small child, if we have to explain something, we'll have to give explanation, lot of explanation. Though we are discussing something different from what Shankara says, yet there's a beautiful illustration that Jimyananda gave at the UN, at the speech in UN, I think in Geneva in 1992. So there he spoke about a kid, a small children, the current day children, they are quite inquisitive. They want explanations for everything. So parents are ignorant about the reality that God is present everywhere, yet he can be perceived clearly only in certain places. So since the parents themselves are not aware of things, they just know that, okay, I have to go to the temple. Why should I go to the temple? They don't know. Therefore, when they tell their children, oh son, go to the temple, we have to go to the temple, get ready, then the son will say, why should we go to the temple? Then the mother will say, oh, that's because their God is present. Then the child will ask, what? Don't Mahatmas say that God is present everywhere? Every child knows that God is present everywhere. Because in Hinduism, the basic, very basic thing that a child is taught when he or she is young itself is that God is present everywhere. Everything is a manifestation of God. So if God is present everywhere, then I'll worship God sitting on my bed. So the parents will not be able to answer such a question because they don't know. So Chinmaya beautifully says that in such a case, the parents should ask, oh dear son, we get milk from the cow. Even as blood is present throughout our body, similarly, milk is the essence of cow. It is present everywhere. But we won't get milk if we milk the various parts of the cow. If we try to milk the tail of the cow, we will not get milk, we will get something else. So if we have to get milk, we will have to milk the right place. So though milk is present everywhere in the cow, yet we will be able to get it, we will be able to apprehend it only in a particular place. Similarly, though God is present everywhere, we will be able to apprehend God only in the temple in initial states. So we need to know things clearly in order to apprehend and understand things. So can you please explain? So Shankara is raising a kind of question that, can you please explain to me how I can apprehend that the world is an illusion? Because I don't know about illusions much. I'm not aware of illusions. I haven't been taught in such a way. Wherever I went, I've been taught that this is right, this is that, everything about reality. Nothing was spoken about logic, though Einstein's relativity theory and many other philosophies speak about logic in depth. Like if we read Aristotle or Plato's works, Plato has explained or put forth Aristotle's words into works, we'll find that it is highly logical. It is so logical that philosophy students, students which who learn philosophy as part of their curriculum, they often proclaim that even Aristotle, who proclaimed those words, he himself didn't know what he was proclaiming, because it is so logical, highly logical, that we won't be able to apprehend. So though there are such works, yet normal logics about the world, about the reality behind the world, was never propounded. Though they in the current century there are many Western scientists as well, Western philosophers as well, who have analyzed the reality behind the world. So we will not be able to apprehend it, because apprehend the illusion, apprehend what is illusion, how it is an illusion, etc., because we haven't been taught to analyze in that particular way. So can you please explain to me how the Gunatrayam, how the Avastatrayam, how the worlds, the Jagrat Loka, the Swapna Loka, the Sushupti Loka, all those are illusions, in a better way, with examples, so that I can understand. I am a small child, I don't know Vedanta, I haven't learned that much. I haven't been brought up in a good environment like ancient times, where people were taught Vedas and Vedanta. So I don't know the Nyaya Shastram, I don't know logic, therefore can you explain me in a better way? So Shankara in the next few shlokas gives lot of logic, examples in the form of logic as well. So examples to illustrate as to how the world is an illusion, why the world is an illusion. So he enters into that with the 59th shloka. So it is the word, it starts by Ayadvan Mridi, but I guess we'll have to cross verify. You can ask to Rajesh or any other person who has a book of Aparukshanubhuti. I don't have a book over here, so I'm not sure about the reading, but it should be Yadvan, that is Yadvat and Tadvat in the next line. So A seems to be not required there, but you can verify later. Yadvan mriti gata brantim shuktau varajatastitam tadvad brahmani jivatvam vikshamanena pashyati. So Shankara gives few examples of illusion here. So he says yadvad mridi gata brantim. In mridi, gata brantim, the branti of considering ghatam. We know that ghatam or pot is nothing but mridi. Mridi means in mrit. So mrit or mud. So we know that ghatam is only nama rupam in mrit. Ghatam is pervaded by mrit. Ghatam is mrit alone. So this is from the one of the places in Upanishad where example of nama rupam being an illusion is explained clearly is the Chandogya Upanishad, the Shweta Ketu Brahmanam, where the father says yata saumye ekena mrit pindena sarvam mrinmayam vijnatam syat vacharambanam vikaru namadeyam mrityaketyeva satyam. Yata saumya, oh dear, yata saumya, oh dear, how yata ekena mritpindena, by knowing one piece of mud, sarvam mrinmayam vijnatam syat, all objects made of mud are known, because mud is the essence of all objects made of mud, like ghatam and wall, etc., all those items that are made of mrit. If we know mrit, one piece of mrit, then we will know the entire objects. The objects that are made of mrit or mud will be known. Why? Because so vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. వాచ ఆరంభణం వికారు. వికారః మోడిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ మడ్ ఇంటు అ పర్టిక్యులర్ ఫామ్ దట్ ఈస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ వాచ. ఇట్ ఈస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ వాక్. ఇట్ ఈస్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ద నేమ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ వాచం వాక్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వర్డ్. We know that mud, if we go to a potter and ask him what is, show him a pot and ask him what it is, he'll say it is mud. But it is our word or our denotation of pot that causes the modification, and that is namadeyam. It is with respect to namam alone. It has no reality. It is arising out of a word. It has no reality. And then what is the reality? Mrityaketyeva satyam. Mrityaka eva iti satyam. The satyam, the reality is mrityaka alone, is mud alone. This is extended to iron pieces and gold as well. So Shankara beautifully explains this aspect in one of his works, which is titled Brahma Jnanavali Mala. So he says there, gata kudyadikam sarvam mrityaka matramevahi tadvad brahma jagat sarvam iti vedanta dindima. Gata కుడ్యాదికం, ఘటం, ఘటం మీన్స్ పాట్, కుడ్యం మీన్స్ వాల్. ఘట కుడ్యాదికం, అబ్జెక్ట్స్ లైక్ మడ్, సారీ అబ్జెక్ట్స్ లైక్ పాట్, వాల్ ఎక్సెట్రా ఆర్ ఘట కుడ్యాదికం సర్వం, ఆల్ దోస్ ఆర్ మృత్తికా మాత్రమేవహి. మృత్తికా మాత్రమేవ, దే ఆర్ మృత్తికా ఎలోన్, దే ఆర్ మడ్ ఎలోన్. సిమిలర్లీ తద్వత్ బ్రహ్మ జగత్ సర్వం, జగత్ సర్వం బ్రహ్మ, సర్వం జగత్ బ్రహ్మ, ఆల్ ద ఎంటైర్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ బ్రహ్మన్ అలోన్. ఇది వేదాంత డిండిమ దస్ రోల్స్ ద లైన్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత. సో ఇట్స్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్ దట్ శంకర యూసెస్ హియర్. సో ఈవెన్ యాజ్ అన్ ఇల్యూషన్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ పాట్ ఇస్ కాస్ట్ ఇన్ మృత్, సిమిలర్లీ శుక్తౌ వా రజత స్థితం వా ఆర్ శుక్తౌ రజత స్థితం. శుక్తౌ, శుక్తౌ మీన్స్ శుక్తి, మీన్స్ శుక్తి మీన్స్ నాకర్, అండ్ రజతం మీన్స్ సిల్వర్. సో ఈవెన్ యాజ్ వీ సీ ఇన్ నాకర్ వీ సీ సిల్వర్, దట్స్ అన్ ఇల్యూషన్ సీయింగ్ సిల్వర్ ఇన్ నాకర్. దట్ ఈస్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద పాపులర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ ఫర్ ఇల్యూషన్. సో ఈవెన్ యాజ్ వీ సీ ఘటం, ద ఇల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ఘటం ఇన్ మట్, pot in mud and silver in nacre, tadvat similarly brahmani jivatvam. Similarly we see brahmani, in brahman we see jiva, we see jivatvam, we see jiva, the limited jiva, that jiva who is the reflection of consciousness, who is limited, who is alpajna, who is alpavyapi, that we see in brahman. So here Shankara gives two examples for showing as to how jiva is seen in Brahman, how the illusion of jiva is seen in Brahman. So that is, one is gut in mud pot, gutam seen in mud, and silver seen in nacre. So the gutam seen in mud, gutam is there, the difference is namarupam, that illusion is namarupam, whereas silver seen in nacre is a proper illusion. There is no namarupam there because it is not real. So one is a case of an real illusion at the empirical level, the other is a case of a namarupa illusion. Both are, though both are same, there is a difference. Namarupam seems to create, as if it becomes, seems to create the reality, whereas silver and nacre, it doesn't, it seem, it also seems to create, but it doesn't really create, whereas the namarupam really creates. So after a person knows that ghatam is mud alone, still he would see the namarupam, whereas once a person knows that that is nacre, that is not silver, then he cannot see silver again. Even as a person who sees snake in rope, after knowing that the rope alone is there, he cannot see snake. But in ghatam, a person after knowing that ghatam is not there, ghatam is only a namarupam, he'll still see ghatam, but he'll have the knowledge that it is only a namarupam. So those are two distinct examples to illustrate jivatvam in Brahman. So jivatvam is Brahman, in Brahman is like namarupam, yet it is also an illusion. At the ultimate level, it is like shuktam. It's shukti seen in shukti seeing rajatam, seeing silver in nacre. So tadvat brahmani jivatvam. But once we know vikshamane, vikshamane means when we have the real vision. So when we really see mud in pot, when we know that ghatam is bhranti, it is an illusion, and know that it is mud. Similarly, when we know that there is no silver in nakar and it is nakar, we never again get the illusion, get the delusion of considering to it the nakar to be silver or considering the pot, considering mud to be pot. Similarly, napashyati. Similarly, when we know that jiva is only an illusion in Brahman, jiva is by essence, in essence Brahman, then we will not be getting, we will not be having the illusion again. Napashyati. A person who realizes this will never again see the illusion. He will never have vision of illusion again. So this was saying that how here in this sloka Shankara explains as to what is vision of illusion, what is vision of reality. Vision of illusion is like seeing ghatam to be real, ghatam in mrit and silver in nakar. Similarly, jivan, jiva in Brahman. And vision of reality is when ghatam is considered to be mrit alone and the nakar is considered to be nakar and jiva is considered to be Brahman. Jiva is considered to be an illusion. So we have two distinct ways of telling empirically real illusions and illusions which are caused out of Namarup. Those are two different ways of telling. An illusion, when we speak about an illusion or mithya like silver in nakar, then that is overcome when we realize it. But after that, it may again be seen. So Namarupam is something which will be there, but which is an illusion. Illusory veiling, we can say. So that's the difference between a real illusion and an illusion caused out of Namarupam. Jagat caters to both. The Jagrat Jagat caters to both. Jagrat Jagat is an illusion seen similar to silver seen in nakar, though it is not like silver seen in nakar, it is an illusion like water seen in desert, wherein we know that desert alone is there, yet we may see it again. So in that jagat is like that, that once we realize, then we will know that it is Brahman alone, yet we may see jagat, we may see the namarupam in jagat. And sorry, we may see jagat again. But jagat is also like a namarupam in Brahman, even as we have the namarupam of we see the namarupam of ghatam in mrit. So Shankara continues. He in the next shloka here he explained about vision of illusion and vision of reality. So in the next shloka he encompasses various illusions of both namarupam and real illusions, and as to how jiva is seen in Brahman. That means cases of illusion. He gives one more example, that is only difference. So as we know, abhyasam or repetition is a way in which the scriptures proclaim things, the scriptures teach things by repetition, because only by again and again repeating we'll understand something clearly. It will go into our mind clearly, because as Swami Vivekananda beautifully said, we have been hypnotized. Hypnotism. We know that, like we see in movies, we read in books. So hypnotism is something out of which if a person has to come out, it depends on how much he has been hypnotized. The more a person is hypnotized, he will have to be brought back again by explaining as to who he is. So similar way, the more a person has been deluded in or by Maya, the more he has to be repeated. So Shankara assumes that this work, unlike the Mandukya Karika or Brahma Sutra, this is a work which is meant for Manda Madhyama Adhikari, for not Tivra Adhikari. A Tivra Adhikari doesn't need all this explanation. He just needs to be told Sarvam Brahmamayam, and all this logic will automatically go into his intellect. His intellect will automatically go into such a state. But Manda Madhyama Adhikari, people who are low and middle seekers, they have to be explained again and again. And a person needn't be sad that, okay, oh, I am a Manda and Madhyama Adhikari because I am learning a Paroksha Anubhuti. Manda and Madhyama Adhikari, all the differentiation of adhikari, the differentiation of guru, the differentiation of sadhaka is only caused out of ajnanam. Everything is, if everything is Brahman, there is only one thing. Since a person is in ignorance, he doesn't realize his nature of Brahman, he doesn't experience the anandam which is his nature, therefore he has to learn more and more. Therefore he is being said as a mandadhikari or madhyamadhikari. All those are illusions which will vanish once he realizes. And once you realize that there is no silver in nacre, then a person will not be worried that, oh I saw silver. He won't be having such a state. So Shankara continues in the next shloka, in the 16th shloka, he gives few logic. Few examples to illustrate the scene. Yatha mridi gato nama kanake kundala bidha shuktau hi rajata khyati hi jiva shabdas tatha pare. So Shankara gives three examples here. So one extra example than whatever he had explained in the 59th shloka. So yatha, like mriti gado nama, sorry, gatho nama, my Sanskrit is bad, pronunciation of my Sanskrit words is bad. So yatha mridi gatho nama, as in mridi, in mrit, in mud gatho nama, the namam of gatam is there. Kanake kundalabhidha, even as in kanakam, in silver, kundalabhidha, the various names of kundalam means earring, kundalam, ring and all those things, necklace and all, we can see. Shuptauhi rajata kyatihi, and even as in shupti, in nacre, there is the illusion. Kyatihi means wrong knowledge, wrong perception or illusion of rajatam, of silver. In nacre, similarly, jiva shabdaha tata pare, tata, similarly, pare means parabrahmane, sorry, parabrahmani. So in parabrahman, in the paramatman, jiva shabdaha, similarly is jiva shabda. So even as there is an illusion of namam as well as rupam of gatam in mrit and kundalam in kanaka, and even as there is an illusory perception of silver in nacre, similarly is the experience of jiva in parabrahman. So as I said, one is like two examples, the seeing and the gatam example and the kundalam example explains about nama rupam, whereas the shukta in shukti, the seeing rajatam, is a case of a proper illusion. Kyatihi, there is kyati, there is a kyati bhadam itself, all the different schools, different philosophies, different darshana speak about kyati. Kyati is a normal experience, right? The seeing silver in nacre, seeing water in desert, seeing snake in rope, all it's an experience, whether a person is following Nyaya system or Sankhya system or Bauddha system. So all the systems, all darshana speak about this kyati, this vision, this illusory vision, this wrong perception, and try to explain as to why this kyati is there. And the default example that is used to explain kyati is silver in nacre, means rajatam in shukti. Therefore Shankara uses this. So in short, there are five kyati philosophies. As per Advaita, the kyati philosophy that Advaita accepts is called anirvachaniya kyati. You don't need to remember all these kyati, because those are advanced things and those that can confuse a lot. But Advaita speaks about khyati, illusion, as anirvachaniyam. So the namarupam example, it's not anirvachaniyam, it's not inexplicable. We know that namarupam is an illusion, yet we see namarupam. So we may see namarupam, but we have to know that namarupam is not real. That's the only thing. But silver seen in nacre, That is anirvachaniyam. It is anirvachaniyam because we have already discussed that mithya, that is mithya which is neither sat nor asat. That is what is called anirvachaniyam. It cannot be explained, it cannot be described because it is neither sat nor asat. So we cannot explain about the vision of silver in nacre, because if we are trying to explain silver in nacre, that means I know nacre. If I know nacre, then there is no silver perceived. So there is no explanation required. And if I have to explain silver in nacre, that means if I see silver in nacre, then I cannot know that it is nacre, because I see silver. So that is one way of telling that it is anirvachaniyam, it cannot be really explained. And the second reason is that it is neither sat nor asat. It is asat because it is neither sat nor asat. It is not sat because we all know that such illusions are not real. They vanish once realization, once the reality, once the substratum is known. Similarly, that therefore it is not sat. Similarly, it is not asat because asat never has any existence. Therefore, it is anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam or inexplicable is another word for mithya. It's another word for neither sat nor asat. So even as all these illusions, either in the form of namarupam or in the form of khyati, in the form of wrong vision, wrong perception, or an illusory perception, we have such experiences. Similar is the case of jiva, who is seen in the reality of Brahman. Brahman alone exists, and jivatvam in Brahman is only due to illusion. So that means jiva is by essence Brahman. That's where the Mahavakya says that jivo brahmaiva naparaha. Jiva is Brahman alone, brahmaiva. Jiva is Brahman alone, and it's not different from Brahman, because jiva is by essence Brahman. So Shankara again continues as to, till now he spoke about jiva and Brahman. So he, in the next shloka, he explains about Jagat and Brahman. It's a bit tough to explain all these concepts, because there will be other related concepts come to my mind, and if you have to explain all those, then it will take more and more time. But in brief, any philosophy, any Vedantic philosophy deals with just three entities. There are only three entities that any Vedantic philosophy, whether it is Advaitam, whether it is Dvaitam, whether it is Vishishta Dvaitam, whether it is Achintya Bheda Bhedam of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or any other philosophy, any other Vedantic system deals with just three entities. One is Ishvara or Brahman, whatever way it is termed. We should always remember the Bhagavatam statement that everything Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidaha Tattvam Yajnana Madhvayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite. You can note it down and by heart, because that explains a lot, that will clear all doubts and confusions regarding Ishvara being termed as Jiva or any other entity, Chit, Sat, all those things. Everything stands for one Brahman alone. Vadanti tat tattva vidaha. Tattva vidaha, knowers of the reality. Tat vadanti, they speak about that reality as how yad jnanam advayam, which is jnanam, which is Chit, consciousness in nature, and advayam, which is non-dual. There is no other entity like that. There is no other Brahman like Brahman. There is only one Brahman. It is Advayam. Everything else is an illusion in that Brahman. And how is it termed as Brahma iti, Paramatma iti, Bhagavan iti, Shabdyate? It is termed, it is called as Brahman, Paramatman, etc. So there is also a Rigveda quotation. Rigveda, in one of the shlokas of Rigveda, it says that Ekam Sad Vipra Bahuda Vadanti. Ekam Sad, one reality, one truth. Vipra, Vipra means knowers of the reality, speak. Bahuda Vadanti, speak in different ways. as different. So it is one reality which is spoken of as Brahman, Paramatman, etc. So out of the three entities, one is Ishvara or Brahman or Tat, that which denotes as Tat, Tat or Tad. So in the Mahavakyam, Tat Tvamasi. So Tat word stands for that Ishvara. And then the second is, of course, Jiva. Jiva is Tvam. And there is one more entity which is Jagat. So Isha, Jiva, Jagat. These three are the three entities that any Vedantic system will have to explain. So Ishvara is, we know, Paramatman. He is Chit in nature. He is the creator. He is the Karanam. And Jiva is a conscious principle. So Jiva is Chit. Jiva is, we cannot say Jiva is not Chit, because Jiva is either reflection of Chit. Reflection of Chit is not different from Chit. That means Jiva is Chit. Or Chaitanyam. So Jiva and Ishvara are Chaitanyam, whereas Jagat is Jadam, Jada Vastu. So a person, any Vedantic philosophy, any Acharya propounding a new Vedantic philosophy will have to explain Isha, Ishvara, Jiva and Jagat. So till now Shankara in the last two shlokas has explained as to how Jiva is seen in Brahman. What is the relationship between Jiva and Brahman? So he said Jiva is only an illusion. The illusion of either names and forms or a wrong perception, khyati. But in a sense, he is Brahma. So, Jivo Brahma eva na paraha. Jiva is Brahman alone in a sense. So, Jiva and Brahman have been explained. Now, he has to explain about Vishwam, about Jagat, the world. The world is also not different from Brahman, right? As Shankara said, Tasmad etani Brahma eva bhavanti tyavadharet. Therefore, know that everything is Brahman alone. So, if everything is Brahman alone, then Jiva and Jagat have to be an illusion in Brahman or non-different from Brahman. Non-different or indifferent, whatever is the right grammatical word. So, yet he has to explain Jiva and Jagat with respect to Brahman. He has already explained Jiva with respect to Brahman. So, now he is going to explain the Jagat with respect to Brahman in the next few shlokas. So in the next few shlokas, Shankara speaks about Jiva, the relationship of Jiva and Brahman. As to how Jiva, sorry, it's not about Jiva, it is Jagat and Brahman. So how Jagat is an illusion in Brahman. Yathaiva vyogni neelatvam yatha neeram marustale purushastvam yatha sthanau Tadvad Vishwam Chidatmani. So it's a different way of explaining, a different example, different logic, that's it. Even as Jiva is an illusion, like water seen in desert or silver seen in nacre, similarly Jagat is also same way an illusion. So Shankara gives a different example. So we can use any example that can be used for an illusion, can be explained in order to prove either Jiva's illusion or world's illusion. Jagat Mithya. Jagat Mithya or Jiva Mithya, both are the same thing. So Shankara says, Yatha eva vyomni neelatvam. Yatha, even as vyomni neelatvam. In space, in sky, neelatvam. So neelatvam means in sky, neelatvam. Neelatvam means blueness. So even as we superimpose or we attribute blueness to the sky, to space. So we all know that sky or space is colorless, yet we see, we perceive blueness and therefore attribute it to the space. So science is well progressed that science also explains the same thing, that space is colorless yet we see it as blue. But the only thing is science hasn't been able to extend it to the entire world, extend it to Jiva, extend it to reach the ultimate reality of Brahman. That's the reason why science is suffering. Even as more and more sophisticated instruments, equipment, technical instruments have been created, have been invented, so has been the instruments that are used to create chaos as well as sorrow in the entire world. So even as we have a person like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs of Apple, they have been creating more and more. Like Microsoft is going to release, it's called Tabletop. It's very similar to the iPhone concept. iPhone is the hottest now in the market with respect to PD or smartphones. It's so good that it has a lot of smart features in it. That's why it's called a smartphone. It has smart features. Similarly, Microsoft has a Tabletop which would be served for a group of hotels where you can even store your card information and pay bills and all those things. So even as Microsoft or Bill Gates has been creating, inventing a lot of new items, new equipments, even as Steve Jobs of Apple has been creating like iPhone and video iPod and all those things, there has been one Osama bin Laden as well, who has been creating havoc in the entire world. So that's the problem with science. Since science hasn't progressed well enough, science hasn't been able to get the most out of whatever is there in the world. Though the world is shouting at the top of its voice that I am an illusion. Is the world really shouting? Yes, it is shouting, because the world is telling that I am a mere namarupam. I don't have a reality. I exist only because of the conscious principle, the conscious light falling on me. So I am a mere illusion. I am jadam. I cannot exist without chaitanyam. The chaitanyam is the reality. I am a mere namarupam. Even as blueness is seen in space, which is only an illusion, similarly I am an illusion in Brahman, in the underlying reality of Brahman. Remove namarupam, remove the namarupam in me and you will find Brahman in me. So the world has been shouting, so has been the ancient seers and the rishis of the Upanishad, yet science hasn't been able to apprehend it. That's the reason why that science is not that progressed. Science looks as if it has helped people in the world. So Amma and many other Mahatmas say, in ancient times people used to get dejected with the world and therefore they used to commit suicide. That used to be by either cutting the vein in their hands or jumping into a well or sea or river. But now it's more sophisticated. So what do people do? They sit inside their house, sit inside AC rooms, and then eat a lot of sleeping pills, an entire bottle of sleeping pills that goes in, and therefore they die, they commit suicide. So it's the same thing, people are committing suicide the same way, yet the only difference is that suicide has become the means or the mode in which they do suicide. The medium has advanced a lot. But science hasn't progressed much in terms of happiness, in terms of knowledge about the substratum of the illusory world, because science is always objective, whereas Vedanta is subjective. So Shankara says that yata eva vyomni neelatvam, even as neelatvam, blueness is superimposed on sky, on or in sky, whatever is the grammatical word. And yatha neeram marustale, yatha, even as marustale, marustale means in desert, neeram, water is seen. So even as blueness in sky, blueness in space, and water in desert, yatha purushah purushastvam stanu means a post. So a person is walking at night, he sees a post. In the post, he superimposes a person into it, an object, a living entity into it. So yata sthanau purushastvam, even as in a lamp post, in a post, a human being is superimposed, tadvat, similarly, vishvam, chidatmani, chidatmani vishvam, chitatmani, that atman which is of the nature of chit, in that vishvam, vishvam, the world has been seen, the world is being seen, the world has been superimposed, so the world has been superimposed. So in Stanu Purushastum, that is a really good example, because Marustale Niram as well as Neelatvam in Vyomni, all those are general examples. Whether Bill Gates sees it or an Ajnani sees or a beggar sees or I see, it is going to be the same experience. Whereas in the case of Stanu, in the case of a lamppost, it depends on the person who is seeing, on his level, on his mental attitude. So Mahatmas, Amma, as well as all other Mahatmas have used this example in a beautiful way. So a lamppost is seen at night. So if a thief who is passing by, he sees the lamppost and he sees the police in it, and therefore he runs. And a police sees the lamppost, he thinks it is a thief, he runs towards it. A lover sees the lamppost, a guy sees a lamppost and he sees his girlfriend in it, and a girl sees a boyfriend in it, and a normal person, another person who is just walking by, he sees a thief in it, and therefore he runs away. And a person who is a believer of occult sciences, he sees a ghost in it, therefore he runs as fast as he can. So depending, it's one sthanu, but in the sthanu is not seen as a person, but it is seen depending on a person's level, even as the world. So the perception of the world, as filled with Krishna, or filled with Rama, or filled with Murga, or filled with Shiva, it depends, or filled with Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, it depends on a person's view. Though I may see Amma in the entire world, or I may see Shankara, or some other person may see Sri Sri Ravi Shankar in it, or yet another person might see Sai Baba in it, yet the reality is that the entire world is only Brahman, that Brahman who is Nirgunam, who is Guna Atitah, who is Chit. Chit cannot have any form, therefore he is formless Brahman. So though the entire world is only Nirguna Parabrahman, yet we see Saguna Brahman. We see different people, different form. Either we may see each and every form as different from one another, or we may see a form, a particular form in the entire world. Seeing Rama as pervading the entire world is not bad. It is better than seeing a pot and a stone as different from each other. It is better than seeing Bill Gates and Steve Jobs as different from one another, because then we'll have to take the side of either Microsoft or Apple. Whichever way you take, you will be fighting with one another. So rather than seeing the world as different Nama Rupa, seeing one Nama Rupa is better. But seeing one Nama Rupa, that is not real, because at some point of time when we see one Nama Rupa, it's not a real perception, because real perception is that all the Nama Rupa are Arupa Brahman, that Brahman which is without any Rupam, without any Namam. Nama Rupa Guna Dosha Varjitam. So Shankara in Viveka Chudamani, he explains a beautiful shloka about how a person should contemplate. So he says, Jati Niti Kula Gotra Duratam Nama Rupa Guna Dosha Varjitam Desha Kala Vishayati Vartiyat Brahma Tattvamasi Bhava Yatmani. We have to contemplate that Brahma Tattvamasi Bhava Yatmani. Contemplate that Brahman who is denoted by the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, that Brahman I am. What is the nature of that Brahman? Yati Niti Kula Gotra Duragam. So Duragam, it is far away from or different from Jati, Niti, Kula, Gotra, etc. It doesn't have any of this. And Nama Rupa Guna Dosha Varjitam. Varjitam, Dosha Varjitam, it is devoid of the faults, as well as it is devoid of Nama Rupa Guna Dosham. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Dosham, etc. It is devoid of all those things. Deshakala Visha, Vishaya Ativartiyat. It stands beyond. It stands above Deshakala Vishayam. The three limitations of time, space and causation or Vastu. Brahma, that Brahman I am. So the Brahman is beyond any Namam, any Rupam. Yet if a person sees one Rupam, one Namam as pervading the world, that is good because it helps in contemplation. It helps in concentration. It also helps in removing Dvaitam, removing Ragadvesham, removing attachment, removing Kama Krodham. So Kama Krodham, if it is removed, then gradually it will lead a person to the state of Advaitam. It will make that particular form, if a person is contemplating and on a particular form as pervading the world, as on Saguna Brahman, that then if the devotion is really true, if he sees everything as that form, that means even Shiva would be seen as Krishna. If Krishna is the form a person is seeing in the entire world, then Shiva is also Krishna, Vishnu is also Krishna, Rama is also Krishna, Muruga is also Krishna, Jesus is also Krishna. If a person sees that, then that particular God, that particular form itself will take him to the state of formlessness. This is what Krishna says. Krishna, in the 12th chapter in the Bhakti Yoga, when Arjuna asks Krishna that which is greater, Saguna Upasana or Nirguna Upasana. So Krishna says, Nirguna Upasana is the ultimate, it's the final, but still, people who are embodied, who think they are the body, who haven't got rid of body notion, they cannot contemplate on the Nirgunam. So, seeing a form, form worship is for people who consider themselves as with a form. So, people who haven't crossed over the notion that I am not the Deho Naham, people who don't have Deho Naham, I am not the Deha, they cannot concentrate on Nirguna Brahman. Therefore, they have to concentrate on Saguna Brahman. Because Nirguna Upasana is very tough for them. So, if Nirguna Upasana is tough and that is ultimate, then will Saguna Upasana lead a person to the reality? So, Krishna answers that beautifully by saying, Yetu Sarvavani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Matparaha Ananyenaiva Yogena Mam Dhyayanta Upasate Tesham Aham Samuddharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat Bhavami Nachirat Partha Mayaveshita Chetasam. Yetu Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Who offer all actions onto me? Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya. Who have renounced, who have offered all karma onto me, Matparaha, and who are always immersed in thought about me, who consider me as the ultimate. Me means Sagunam, we can say Sagunam. Ananyena eva yogena, ananyena eva yogena, with ananya yogam. It's the same as ananya shrenta yantoma. Ananyam means without any other thought. So any thought or any namarupam that comes to their mind, that is seen as that particular form. So whatever is the thought that coming in, oh, is that the case? If the thought of cigarettes or smoking comes, what will the devotee see? He will see that also as Krishna. So any namam, any rupam that comes to his mind, that is seen as Brahman, that is Ananya Yogam. Seeing everything, all thoughts are automatically converted, translated in the mind to the ultimate, the reality, to the Saguna reality that a person is worshipping. Mam Dhyayanta Upasate, and they worship me by meditation and other means. Tesham Aham Samuddharta Mrityu Samsara Sagara. For them, I am the person, I am the helper, I am the refuge in helping them cross over the ocean of samsara. Mrityu Samsara Sagara. From the Mrityu Samsara Sagaram, the Sagaram of Samsaram or Mrityu, Samuddharta, a person who helps them cross over the ocean of samsara, that I am. And Bhavami Nachirad. Chirad means in a long time. Nachirad means quickly. So I become their savior quickly, within no time. Partha. Why? Mai Aveshita Chetasam. Because their Chetasam, their Chetas, their mind is fully offered, or has already surrendered or merged into me, my aveshita. There, Chetas has entered into me. So that means that even for Sarguna Upasana, Upasakas, I take them slowly. They initially offer all actions onto this form. They think about that form alone. If they think about that form alone, then there is only one form. If there is only one form, we cannot term it form. Why cannot one form be termed as a form? If there is only one form, then that means the entire universe is that form. If the entire universe is that form, then that form pervades space. Pervades, or it is pervading the entire space. And we term a form as a form if it is limited by space. But this form, which we initially saw as a limited form of Krishna or Rama, that pervaded the entire universe, that means it has become everything. If it has become everything, then it pervades space. If it pervades space, then it ceases to be a form. So through Ananya Yogam, through always contemplating on that form, seeing that form everywhere, that makes the form as formless. Though it is tough to apprehend, but that is how it happens. It is logical to analyze it this way and understand it, but it's okay if we don't understand as well, because if we worship one form as pervading everywhere, then we will be led into the formless. That's why Krishna says that Nachirat Partha, with no time, within no time, they will be helped to cross over the ocean of samsara by merging into the Nirgunam, merging into the Arupam, merging into that reality which is without any form. So even as all these illusions are seen, so in Stanu, we see Purushah, similar is the case with Vishwam in the Atman, in the Chidatma, in the Atman of the nature of consciousness. So Shankara continues this analysis. We'll see that tomorrow. Hari Om.